Hi everyone, and welcome to episode 7 of Kenyan Francophile. Well, it's been such a long time. I don't even think I remember how to do this anymore. I don't even remember the person I was. I feel like I was somebody totally different from the last time I posted something. But hey, in summary, hey, life has just been showing me things. If you're listening to this now, I'm a student. I think the last time I was recording, I was not a student. I was working, and now I'm doing my master's, so I've done one semester already, so it's been one hell of a ride. We'll talk about that, because this episode is actually about master's applications mostly. So yeah, I got my friend Hilda to have a chat about uni applications in France, because both of us get those questions a lot. Like, people, we have the same questions every time about studies in France, so we thought we should just make an episode about this and share with you guys and answer your questions. So most of the questions that we talk about in this episode are from my Instagram story. I put up a question tag and asked you guys to give me some questions that you have. Then I got some responses, so you should be hearing about that. I am usually bothered by the fact that this podcast in my head is a lot more than what it is right now. I've not been able to do many of the things that I set out to do, mostly due to technical reasons and the fact that most of my guests are very far away from me. Sometimes when we do online recordings, there's technical issues. As I speak right now, I have 2 episodes that I actually recorded but have not been able to put out because of the poor network, and consequently the recording didn't come out as it was supposed to be. So in my head, I'm deliberating whether I want to put it out as it is or just do it again, because the stories were really worth it. They were really, really nice stories from fellow Kenyan Francophiles. Yeah, but we'll see about that. Second thing is, I've always wanted to introduce 2 segments to this podcast, because I've always had an educational vision for this podcast. I want to be able to educate as much as possible. So I want to introduce 2 segments. The first segment is what I have learned this week. Or maybe not this week particularly, but just what I have learned around the time I was recording this episode. I think the one thing I have learned this week was from my students, because I'm also a language assistant at the same time. Yeah, so I teach high school kids English in France. And I learned just recently that there's actually baguette etiquette, which I didn't know about. Apparently there's a right way of putting a baguette. You can't just put a baguette like upside down. So that was interesting. I didn't know about that. I don't even eat baguettes anyway, so that's probably why I don't know. But yeah, you know how baguette is like the ugali of France. It's bread and butter, literally. Yeah, so the other segment I would really want to introduce is to be letting you guys in on the music that I listen to, and introducing you guys and putting you guys on to new music, maybe even music that you've had. It's going to be music from both France and Kenya, the music that I'm feeling at the moment. And I got this, to give credit, I got this idea from a podcast that I listen to very religiously, Legally Clueless podcast by Adele, which I get so much inspiration from. So the music that I've been feeling this week is Déclaration by my favorite artist of all time, Stromae, the artist of my life. So Déclaration is a song that he sings for women. I say that song feels like a warm hug. And especially now, like the time of recording, I'm recording this in a time where in Kenya there's an actual femicide crisis. And that song, for me, every time I listen to that song, because the chorus of that song says, t'inquiète pas, ça va aller, faudra bien que ça change, ça prendra quelques années vu que ça nous arrange, which means, don't worry, it really has to change. It's going to take some years, given that it works in our advantage. The "our" then means men. Like, he's talking about the patriarchy. It's a very feminist song. Clearly, that's why I like it. And he speaks about women's choices. He speaks about women's bodies, women having autonomy over their bodies. He speaks about endometriosis. He speaks about misogyny. I think there's a line that says, on n'est pas misogyne, on devient. Like, we're not born misogynist, we become misogynist. What else does he say? I think that song has very many nice lines. It's lines that just feel like you want to put them on a billboard kind of line. Yeah, so do listen to that song. It's just one of those songs that just always plays at the back of my mind. Always plays at the back of my mind. So, yeah, let's get into the episode. Just please, 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 I am so sorry. I am so sorry. Please excuse me because I'm still learning how to do this craft. I promise I'll get better. But for this particular episode, given the circumstances that we recorded it, we actually recorded this in a cafe kind of situation. So you can hear people speaking in the background. I tried to reduce it as much as I could. You could hear glasses at some point, but I really tried to minimize it as much as I could. But the message is preserved, I can promise you that. Just bear with me, please. I'm so sorry. I just really needed to get this out. And I have procrastinated this for so long. In fact, the last day that I was supposed to finish it, my microphone just stopped working. And I'm recording this intro on my phone directly. So, I mean, there was so much resistance, as there always is. But I just had to get this out. And I hope you guys will enjoy this episode. I'm looking forward to feedback from you guys. Yeah, let's dive right in.
Sijon,
La Colle-les-Yvelines,
Saint-Denis,
Boulogne-sur-Mer,
Clermont-Ferrand,
Lyon,
Giverny,
Angers,
Arles,
Périgueux,
Annecy,
Savigny-sur-Orge,
Landivisiau,
Paris,
Perpignan.
Pour La Nouvelle,
Normandie.
Hi, my name is Hilda. I'm an MR student, master's student, the first year of master's in the Université de Reims. I am doing...
For those who don't know what
Reims is. Okay, R-E-I-M-S, Reims. It's so cringe to say Reims.
Yeah, like Carrefour and Carrefour. So basically this episode is just going to be about university applications in France for licence. Licence is degree and master's. But like if you're listening to this and you're planning to apply for licence, it's probably too late because... I think the deadline was probably even yesterday.
Yeah, 15th of December. Yeah.
The deadline for applying for degree is usually around mid-December, unless they extend it for whatever reason.
Yeah. No, it's over.
Yeah, it's over. So maybe next year. Or, but I think that's just for like public unis, because private unis usually have their own timeline.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I did not know that. Okay.
But it also depends on the uni. It depends on the program as well. Everything just depends on the uni.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you're listening to apply for your master's, the deadline is still January 1?
The deadline is 23rd January for master's applications. So there's two ways, I think. Yeah, there's two ways that you can apply for uni in France. That's either through Campus France or in English Campus France. And it's the office that is in...
Alliance Francaise.
First floor Alliance Française in town, Nairobi. Or, so if you're in Kenya, like if you're applying from Kenya, you're technically required to do that.
Yeah.
But if you're applying from France, you can apply through either Campus France or you can apply through Mon Master. So I think for purposes of reference for this podcast, Tatumia Campus France as like the main point of reference, because every information that you need about applying for school in France, you get through Campus France. Yeah, if you're wondering what Campus France is, it's like the intermediary between Kenya and France in terms of education.
Yeah.
So they do promotion of education in France from either licence, that's degree, or master's. They have all the information on the website, just have a look.
And you can always like write them an email.
Yeah.
Yeah, or you can go to Alliance Francaise. They're always there.
Yeah.
So, application process?
Yeah, we now delve into like how to apply through Campus France. Even before we even go to that, I think both of us, me and Hilda, get questions about like what course should I apply for?
Yeah, like
how do you know which course to apply for?
Yeah.
Because me, I feel like it's an obvious question for me, but I would understand why someone would have doubts about what to apply for.
I mean, if you're applying for a master's, And you're asking me what course should I apply for?
Yeah.
But like, I kind of understand because I had the same question. But it's
this
just
is
like
us being nice. This is us being nice, by the way. Yeah.
No, for you know, like university. I don't know which university you went to, but in KU, you don't have like that. After your bachelor's, what are you going to do?
For purposes of reference, I was in Strathmore for my degree and I did something totally different. I did telecommunications.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if I've said that on the podcast, maybe not, because I've never done an episode about education.
Mm-hmm. I went to KU.
Yeah.
Kuna masomo.
KU
is a university.
Mm-hmm.
And
I know it's funny. My classmate and I were discussing, this is actually interesting, we're discussing, I think, like, ranking of unis, the different rankings, and in the current QS ranking, when you try to search the Kenyan University, that are found, like, in top CGU, or to get KU, like, as the first Kenyan
for
university.
For real? Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah.
But, like, when I searched for the university that I'm studying at right now, in that ranking, I found that University of Nairobi is actually higher than the university I'm studying at right now in France.
Honestly, I personally, for me, I feel like those lists are usually very biased.
Yeah.
And they use metrics that are not... I don't really follow those lists. Also, there's very many... There's different institutions that rank schools.
Yeah.
Because I know the Shanghai one.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's a QS one. Like, there's... You can get the same ranking, but from different institutions. And they also have, like, different units.
I should probably check just for my nini.
Yeah, probably. And you, like, personally, do you feel like your uni is better than your N? Okay, let's use KU. Do you feel like your current uni is better than you, than KU?
The education is definitely better because it's more supervised.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the way they do things, KU tulikuwa tuna galivant, tuko tu ma job, tuko tu tunatafuta pesa, tuko tu tunaenda bash. But here, I have to study. I have to study. Everything is just so supervised. But the way they do things, Like right now, I don't know. Sijui max ya kat, sijui max ya kitu. I'll know. Semester ikishaisha. I don't know. And the website to like find information is just so disorganized. KU was better.
Yeah, so like, you feel like there's aspects that KU is better.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
I kind of feel the same thing about like my uni. And like statistically, my uni is like among the best in France, honestly, if I'm being honest.
Mm-hmm.
Probably even the best. Using the rankings that came out in 2023, we were ranked like number 15 in like the world.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's very nice, actually. And but obviously there's things that I still feel like, I feel like Kenyan universities have this handled better.
Yeah.
If you ever look at those lists and you ever feel like, my uni is not there, don't feel discouraged because guess who's making this list?
Cool.
Exactly. Like, yeah, it's not Kenyans making this list.
Yeah, exactly.
It's probably not even Africans making this list.
Yeah.
But for me, I'm sorry to digress, but for me that just extends to lists about anything. Like, the best countries in the world, the best food in the world. Who's making this list?
Yeah. It depends. So back to applications. Where do we start? We were talking about like
choice.
The choice of courses that you have to do. What do you think?
Apart from just passion and like, okay, I think the first thing, unless your case is different, I think it's good to apply for something that you've done before. If you're applying for masters, it will give you a strong application. You have a strong application if you're applying for something that you really did in your degree.
Yeah.
Because even the French system itself is very strict on that. It's always better to apply for something that you've already done. I mean, the normal case, because mine is not that way. I'm saying that, but I didn't even do that because I didn't want to study my master's in what I did in licence.
Yeah.
Because I was trying to reorient myself.
How did you, like, was it difficult?
It was actually difficult, yeah, because, like, many of my rejections had told me that, like, hey, you don't have the background required for this course.
Mm-hmm.
And usually when you look at the applications on the websites in either Master and Campus France, there's usually some requirements that you need to meet for you to be accepted. And one of them is having the background of what you're applying for. Yeah, so for me, I'm studying sports management at Université de Paris-Saclay.
Mm-hmm.
And I studied telecommunications for my degree. So they have zero relation, but it helped that I had some work experience in sports and probably passion and like, yeah. So in my, what happened, what helps is like when you write your letter of motivation, bring out the fact that you have some knowledge or some work experience or like you did whatever you did, whatever you're applying for.
Yeah.
If you're applying for something like medicine and then you studied something like law.
Yeah.
It's a bit tricky.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to like convince them, hey.
Yeah, but you're qualified enough to just apply for a master's in medicine. Yeah.
Yeah.
But honestly, I don't even think you can apply for a master's in medicine if you don't have a background in medicine. That's too technical.
Yeah, yeah. But like they get it.
Yeah, that's technical. Some things you can get away with, some things not so much.
So in short, you can't like ask somebody, what am I going to do? You have to do the research, find what courses they have in that field, in the universities that you want to go to, and like choose like what's convenient for you.
Because literally every case is different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every case is different. You can't choose for somebody what to do.
Yeah, honestly, like I did not know what to do myself.
Yeah.
And... I'm probably not the best person to talk about this, but I did not know what I was doing. I did not know what I was applying for. And because everything is just in French.
Oh, yeah. I get to that, by the way. I'm pretty sure many people are wondering whether they need to know how to speak French to apply for the courses. Yeah,
Sorry. It's okay. So I did not know what I was doing because I just went and I was like, education, because I have a bachelor's in education, so I was like, I have to do a master's in education or something. But then I don't know like what options I have, because people say that like you can do psychology if you've done education. I don't know. But then when you go to the website for Campus France, you go to the university qualifications that you need to have, and they've said education. So
for what? To get into an education
college. Yeah. Or like social, you know, not psychology. Yeah, social sciences or something like that. Because my master's is in Masters of Education Discrimination. So at least it was more open.
I will say that again. What's the name of your course exactly?
It's called MEEF, Masters of Education, but like in
Masters of Education.
Yeah.
In what Masters of Education, and then so what's MEEF?
It's Métier de l'enseignement et de l'éducation et de la formation. So that's MEF. And like that's what I'm doing. It's and then I'm doing Parcours, Inégalité, Discrimination et Territoire.
Good, now can you explain all that is in English, like to somebody who's listening?
It's basically Masters of Education, but like in...
with a focus in like discrimination studies.
Yeah, no, not discrimination studies. Like discrimination in the curriculum or something.
Oh, discrimination in education.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So that's what I'm doing. But like if you want to apply for a Master's of Education in like something like English, they would want you... Yeah, or mathematics. I don't think you can like have a psychology background or, you know... Mm. Like they're really specific about like...
The requirements.
Yeah, the requirements. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so in terms of choice... Honestly, the best thing we can say is just do your research.
Yeah, do your research.
Do your research. And in the unis that you want, I think the best place to start is start by the unis that you want or the course that you want. If you have a particular course, just find the unis that offer it. Or if you have a particular uni, look if they have the course that you want, and then look at the requirements. Because they should have the requirements on the websites normally.
Yeah, because there's also the issue for... if it's taught in French or taught in English, so therefore...
Let's get to that.
Yeah.
I think a question that both of us get a lot is your course in French? Do you need French to study in France or like to live in France? For me, I would say, yeah, first of all, my course is in French, 100%.
And you needed French?
And I needed French. My level of French is in B2. Like, I have a very strong B2, probably C1. I should just do the exam to confirm. But like I had applications that like they required me to have a C1, and I was rejected because I didn't have a C1 level.
Yeah.
I had applications that like my level was good enough. So how do you know your level? Do the exam. So
you kind of need to do the exam to confirm your level to apply.
You have to do the exam.
Yeah.
Because they'll ask you for your certificate. Either you provide a DELF or a DELF certificate, or you provide a TCF certificate. Both are exams that are recognized. Yeah.
But, like, you don't have to do that if you're applying for a taught in English program, right?
Yeah, but you don't... Honestly, I think it's a bit of a nuanced kind of question, because you don't... If you're doing a course that is fully in English, you don't necessarily have to have a certificate, but you need to have, like, some level of French, because Utaishi Aje France, but French, you really struggle, honestly. You might at least know the basics, know at least Atakamani up to A2.
Yeah.
Because even if you're not to A2, at some point you always feel the need to better it for you to, like, survive in the country. Not many people know this when they're outside, but not everyone speaks English here. In fact, the people who speak English in France are very few.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it depends on, like, on the city. Like, if you go to the bigger cities, obviously you get a few more people who speak some English, but if you're in a smaller city, you might be the only one who speaks English.
And, like, when you're doing stuff like house hunting, things,
yeah.
You will need...
You
some
need French.
French. Because even, like, the way people treat you,
exactly.
If you don't speak French,
yeah.
Bro.
That's so true.
Yeah. But, like, we need to talk about the taught in English programs. Like, what are the English taught programs?
So, technically, in France, you're either learning in English, French, or both. Because there's programs that have, like, some units are in French, some units are in English. Thing is, you will find people advertising saying that, like, yeah, you can easily get into English courses, but when you actually go down and do the work and find out the courses that you want, you'll find that the English courses are very few and far between, and they are probably more competitive because more foreigners are looking into them.
Yeah,
they're probably expensive. Most likely the English ones are usually in private unis,
and they're like weird ones.
Yeah,
like you can't get like Masters of Education taught in English.
Yeah. Like a very niche and specialized kind of course like Chutapata.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like in general, you need French.
You definitely just need French, yeah. I'm just trying to find a way of saying this nicely. If you're taught a course in English, but by a French person, chances are it won't be the same experience as being taught with a person who's natively English. How was your process like?
It was hard.
Yeah.
But looking back,
it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's not easy. Applications are not easy.
Yeah, they're not easy. Like, if you're lazy, and kunywa energy drink, alafu rudi. So, first of all, like, of course, I tried to find a course that I'll do.
Mm-hmm.
And then I finally landed on education. And then I visited Campus France office in Alliance to get guidance, and then they give me like a step-to-step
guide.
First of all, there's another portal. You don't apply in Campus France. There's that other portal called Études en France.
Yeah, but Études en France is like related to Campus France. I don't know what the relationship is, but I feel like it's the Campus France area for application.
That's where you go for application.
Yeah. When did you start applying for masters?
I started.
And what did you need to apply? What documents did you need to apply?
When did the application open? In October.
Around October.
Yeah,
I think, yeah.
Around October. And because I had already started other applications in the UK and whatever, I had already prepared my documents, which were like recommendation letters from my lecturer, from my workplace, my degree, my passport. What other documents do we need?
Motivation letters.
Motivation letter hadn't written, but like...
Language requirements sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if it's UK, you need the language requirement certificates, which is like very unfair because they colonized us. If it's France, you'll definitely need the DELF 2 level.
And like translating your documents, which I did not do.
Yeah, translating. That's actually an important thing that we didn't talk about. I translated my transcripts. And I think, if I'm not wrong, I don't know if they asked for, I feel like they asked for about certificates.
I did not. Imagine I was just like,
yeah.
If like, it's international. Oh, how are you going to ask me to translate English documents? Uji Kizungu.
Oh, actually,
I did not.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Let me specify this. So translation of documents is really required. Sometimes, I mean, 9 out of 10 times it will be required, but also they can make exceptions for English. So I think most of my applications are written. You either translate it if it's in any other, you translate it if it's in any other language other than English or French. So, but by that time I'd already translated, so I just gave them the French ones.
Well, I just used the English ones.
And another thing I think we haven't talked about is conversion of the grades, which I didn't do, but I know people who did. Some people ask, it depends on the course also.
Really?
Yeah, I know people who were asked specifically to do that. Like, they sent the application and they were like, no. we need this grade in the French system.
Oh.
So you have to go to a website called Enic Narik. Just find it. You have, if you're asked to convert your grades into the French system, you have to use that website. It's a simple process, but it's quite expensive and it takes a while.
It's expensive. Imagine, you have to pay for it.
You have to pay, like, it's around 70 euros in total.
Because you have to convert it and get a document or something.
Yeah, see, now you send your Kenyan degree.
Really?
And then they give it back in the French format.
Oh.
Yeah. Luckily, I didn't do that, so...
And then, like, that étude en France thing is so practical.
Mm-hmm.
You just need to fill in the information as you attach your documents.
Mm-hmm.
And then now you start working on the cover letters, which you have to attach. Because you're applying for, like, seven universities.
At the same time.
Yeah, at the
in
same
one
time.
Application.
Yeah, but like the cover letters have to be like course specific, university specific.
Yeah.
So you're writing 7 cover letters.
Yeah. So Ebu, tell us about those cover letters, application letters that you wrote, motivation letters, whatever you want to call them.
Okay, I had to do a lot of research. Guy, mm-hmm. I did research a lot. Thing I can say is that they need you to be like straight to the point and not write like an English one where you have to explain, so you put words and it's in a case, just be straight to
the
point.
To
the yeah,
point.
Yeah, brief and to the point, like 3-4 paragraphs, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So obviously introduction and then at some point in the body you'd have to like write why you chose that course at that particular school and what you offer to that course and what it offers to you in your future plans.
Yeah.
Like France has this obsession with projects. You'll always, in interviews, in studies, you always talk about your projet de futur, project, like
objet de professionnalisation.
Exactly. You kind of have to have like a future project, like you need to know where you're going. So even in interviews for Campus France, they'll ask, probably talk about that.
So the cover letter part, motivation letter, whatever, it's not complicated. As long as you understand what you want, you just need to tell them what you want and how it helps you in the future to become who you want to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then now you just, like, twist it to the, like, specific university, telling them how amazing they are.
Yeah, how amazing they are.
Yeah.
How blessed, how lucky they would be to have you in their course. I'm going to quote something from our group. This is from Christine. Hey, Christine, shout out to you. Hopefully, she'll be on the podcast soon.
Yeah.
So she said, this is her in response to how to write the application essays and what to focus on. She said, read the course information on the website. There's stuff like who their target is. Yeah, they tell you who they're looking for.
Mm.
Like the profile of the candidate that they're looking for. They also say the desired undergrad background. This is so true because they tell you we're looking for people who studied this course, or if you didn't study this course, at least you should have these like units, or like you should be strong in this field.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said they also ask the desired domain. Yeah, because you're not gonna do medicine if you did law or something. The desired domain they train students for, so like prospective industries. Yeah, because I remember in my applications when they tell you after finishing this course, most of our students become this person, they become this, and then they want you to explain why you want to do the master's, link it to your background, and if there's no link, you need to explain the transition in a way that makes sense. Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And then explain how the program is relevant to your future goals. I literally went through the modules offered in the 2 years, picked one that was relevant and mentioned it. I also did the same thing. I did the exact same thing. I picked two. I looked at the modules, like the units that they have in the course.
Mm-hmm.
I picked two. Like I think I did, like I picked like sports marketing and something, probably sports law or something. And I just mentioned it and how it's tied to my future project.
Did you ChatGPT the stuff?
I didn't. I actually did not ChatGPT.
Really?
I feel like I did ChatGPT, but I didn't end up using one that I ChatGPT.
Yeah.
It didn't feel right. Even when I gave ChatGPT extremely specifically.
Yeah.
Like it gave me the body and all, but like I I did the most with myself.
Yeah. So yeah. If you're planning to ChatGPT that stuff, hey.
They can tell.
Yeah. They can tell also. Yeah. ChatGPT. You know when you read it in French, if you're not très fort,
yeah.
You think, oh my God, the French. Fort. Yeah.
If you decide to use ChatGPT, I mean, you can use it, but just use it smartly. Don't use it for everything. Use it as a, like, to give you the skeleton, but make it, personalize it to your case.
I used some letters that I saw on the internet. You know those letters that, yeah, but like from French people, like, because before I was looking for English ones
and then you translate,
yeah, and that's not it. You need to look for the French ones. It's more practical and it's very different how French people write letters.
True.
Yeah.
Do you think that people should write application letters in English or in French?
I think in French, if you're applying for French, French. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a question people ask a lot.
And plus, every question that you have, it will be in the information that's on the website.
Yeah.
So if they need you, if you can write in English, they will indicate that you can write in English. So yeah. After you write your motivation letters and you attach them and you've attached your documents, that's basically it. And then you submit your document, and then Campus France has to... Campus Friends has to like say yes, they have to approve or something.
They don't really approve. Oh, we haven't mentioned that you have to pay for this service.
Like, oh, damn.
You pay 8K.
Yeah.
I feel like I didn't know this like before I started my applications. I only knew it like when I was now doing my applications. I realized I have to part with 8,000 Kenyan shillings.
But you're in France, 8,000 was not that much.
No, it's come on. 8,000 of you too. Okay, two out of nowhere.
I can't even.
It's actually a lot. And if you consider the fact that I didn't get any of my units that I applied for in Campus France.
Yeah.
I just needed two 8K, like just like that.
We were so prepared, and given that I had already started applying for schools in the UK, I don't know where, and the application fee is so expensive, I was like 8K for 7 schools. I was like, yeah, take my money, Campus France.
It's like 1.2K for. Like 1.1k for every school.
Yeah, it was like okay for me, and I don't know why I was so sure I was going to get in.
you really jerk.
Yeah, I was just so positive about the whole thing. So I was like 8k, take it. But yeah, I mean, I don't think it's complicated.
Yeah.
If you do your research properly.
If you do your research, for sure. And I think people don't realize that. You can't just decide out of nowhere that you want to start applying. If the applications open in October and then in September you just suddenly decide, okay, yeah, I probably want to apply.
Yeah.
It's probably not enough time. There's so much involved. I also use recommendation letters. Did you use those?
Yeah, I think, it's a requirement.
Not always, not every course, but it's a good addition.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you need to get, like, recommendation letters, chances are you need to go back to either your uni or people that you worked with, ask them to write your recommendation letter, and this could take some time, so...
Because they can't be pressuring your lecturer or your manager. Give it to me. Kwanza my lecturer sumbuad me.
What did?
I'll go like, why do you want to go to France? Are you sure? The country's terrible.
But you've been in France. You had been
in France. But I was telling him that and he was like, oh, there's going to be global warming. There's going to be... He hates France.
But you?
Yeah, he's a literature... He used to teach us African literature in French, Francophone, whatever. So he's like a real...
But he hates France.
Yeah, a lot.
I see why.
Yeah, he didn't want me to come. So alini sumbua sana.
But alipandikia eventually.
Aliniandikia.
Yeah.
Aliniambia ati go enda ujiangalie ufikirie. Sijui utafanya nini utoe nguo. Alafu he's not Kenyan. Oh, so I don't know where he's from.
West Africa.
Yeah, or like he's sijui Rwanda ama ni Congo ama ni wapi.
Okay.
Ati uende ujiangalie sijui utatoa nguo ukae mbele ya kioo. Ujiangalie ujiulize what do you want? I love if you have the answer, you come back to me, I'll write you a letter.
But really, he didn't be, like, was that how?
Yeah, he didn't, he was like, you don't know what you want, you just want to go. Unataka tu kwenda, maju.
Oh.
Yeah.
Damn, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably what you need. You need to apply, like, to make the decision to apply and start planning your documents months in advance.
Yeah.
Timelines, can you, like, give us, like, rough timelines of when you applied? No, not when you applied, when you put in your application, when you got the first response.
Okay. So after I finished my applications in like December, because Je me suis trompée. Deadlines.
Yeah.
I thought the deadline was the 15th of December, but it was actually January.
Yeah.
So I finished early, and then I was just gallivanting, waiting for them to say yes to me because, you know, I hate nilikuwa nimejiamini. Hey. And then I started getting feedback in like April. No, refusé. Yeah. No, refusé.
Yeah.
until like May is when I got my first.
Your first, like the one that was accepted.
Yeah, it was only one out of seven.
Actually, I don't know if you mentioned that the application deadline. I think we did mention that the application deadline is January 23rd for like next year for masters. Also, there's a small campus funds interview that you do after you, like when you send in your application and then you pay, you choose a time slot for like an interview when you do the interview.
In March?
Somewhere in March, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a February, either end of February or like around March.
March, beginning of March.
Yeah. So you, it's not really an interview, it's just like a some sort of guidance. Like they tell you, yeah, your letter says this, like, they look at your background, they ask you what you did, ask you about your project, future projects.
Yeah, because they need to then send that like kind of recommendation thing to your universities. I was so freaked out. I prepared myself and then I was like, can I do the interview in English?
For real?
Yeah.
But it's both languages, I think.
But like I'm applying to do French.
Was the interview in French or in English? Just French.
I was in French. How are you going to study if you can't express yourself? Yeah. I said, I'm under pressure. She said, no, you have to try. It was terrible. Nilikuwa like me French yangu sijui na kwanga tu nimenini nikiwa in a situation.
I get.
But yeah.
Yeah. So what were some of the reasons why you got rejections? Like
first the French level
language requirements. Yes.
Yeah. You need to check your university. If they've written that course C1 and you only have a B2 certificate and then you proceed and apply. Nope.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not like one of those things where you're like, oh, you need to qualify 90%. No.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like the language point is a very important thing that they look at, especially for international students.
Yeah.
And if, like, you're, like, us and you're Anglophone, definitely they want to know that you can express yourself.
Because, honestly, even the B2 that we have,
it's
giving us problems.
Exactly, because, like, in Kenya, we don't really speak French enough to like have a strong level.
What you want to do, they can look at your letter and they're like, you're not serious with life. Like your profile, what you're saying does not match what we are looking for.
Exactly, like the wrong profile. I think I also got that as well. They know what the kind of student that they're looking for. Like they know, let's say they're looking for people who want to get into surgery. And then yours, you're playing for medicine, but you want to get into... I don't know, you want to get into gynecology, that's definitely a wrong profile, so they'll not give you the chance.
Yeah.
And it's usually not, actually, getting into, like, French unis is not easy. It's one of the hardest things ever. Like, it's not like Kenya you apply to UN or Lafunengia. It's very competitive, like, even for French students themselves. I remember that period. There's this Twitter page I follow. It's called Étudiants en Confinement. I think it was, like its name suggests, I think it was created during the confinement, the COVID pandemic confinement period. They keep posting about, like, everything that is happening around students and applications. And I remember getting the sense that many people were struggling to get into these unis.
Really?
Yeah, and I remember thinking, come on, French students themselves are struggling to get into it. I don't even think I have a chance. And then even them, they just got rejections like us. Let me now explain my journey. Same thing as yours, same documents pretty much. But now the fact that I was transitioning from IT to now sports meant that I had to show them why I should be accepted, even if I don't have a sports management degree. I applied through both campus funds and my master, as I said before. I got all 7 out of 7 rejections from campus funds.
Oh, God.
7 out of 7. Like, all of them were like, no. And they kept, I remember the... I was doing my summer job in Lyon at that time, and they were all just coming within like, this week I get like 2, next week 2, 3.
In red.
Yeah, red. So you just get an email notification, and then you go to your campus phone's portal. It says rejected. They give you the reasons, either your language level, your wrong profile, whatever. Some will tell you that some reasons that I've heard from people could be things like, I mean, yeah, your profile is good and all, you met all the requirements, but to major.
Any reason?
It's a reason, yeah. Mm. And then when I got all my rejections from Campus One, all of them as a badge of honor. Like, I knew at that point I was feeling like, yeah, I don't think I'm going to get in anyway. Because, like, I had applied for 7 courses in 7 different units in Etudes en France. And I had applied for around, let's say, like, around 6 or something for Mon Master. But the ones in Mon Master took a while. Like, they came much, much later.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I have the dates. So at this point, I had even given up. Because I had gotten every single rejection there was. And it's getting to like June and we're still waiting to get like probably like even one acceptance. And you know uni starts in September. So if you're starting uni in September, by June, July, you should know.
Yeah.
Even for you to start looking for accommodation, because these things, you're applying for them in different towns. At that point, I'm living in Lyon. I've applied for unis all over, in Strasbourg, in Paris, in Lyon itself, in Brest, Nanterre, everywhere. So on the 27th of June is when we all like got like news. I remember I was with my friends in Lyon doing a summer job, and all of us had like sort of applied. I got into a waiting list, so I didn't automatically get any like particular acceptance. I was around number 13 in the highest list, like on the waiting list. I was like number 13.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, I'm going to social media to try and see what people are saying.
Mm-hmm.
People are complaining. They're saying, hey, CG, me ko number 1,000 ko waiting list.
Yeah, like,
some people are like number 200 ko waiting list. And I'm like, okay, so 13 is not bad.
Yeah.
Then I'm also seeing people who are saying that they're like number 50. The next day, they've moved to like number 30. Mm-hmm. So it's how the platform works is when you get accepted, they give a choice to accept or refuse. So there's also, obviously, there's people who got accepted into more than one course. So
yeah.
They took one, they left one.
Mm-hmm.
It creates space for more. And then there's people who got, for instance, I went when I was number 13, I think by the next day or something, I was like number 8. And then another day, I was like number 5. It just kept moving forward and forward and forward.
Yeah.
And then I think after like 2-3 days or something, I finally got like a decision, like I could accept.
Ooh.
To get into uni. And mind you, at that point, the other, I had like, let's say out of 6, I had like 2. I was on a waiting list. The rest were like rejections.
Mm-hmm.
So I got into the first one, and then the second one was like, I was like now around number 40 there,
yeah.
Waiting list. Like,
yeah.
I feel like if time could have gone on, I probably could have gotten into that, because there's people who were like in number like 70 on the waiting list and they still got in. So it really just depends on the course and the uni.
Mm-hmm.
So I think by around 30th of June there is when I knew that I was going to the uni that I'm going to. But at that point, another issue was now housing.
Mm-hmm.
Like KUS is like students housing. It's provided by the government. It's like subsidized housing for students, so it's not very expensive, and it's what people usually recommend when you're a student. But the
how
thing
much is
it? It's like depending on the situation. Like, because there's KUS for like your own room,
mm-hmm.
It's like sharing like what to a wheelie or like 4 people. So mm-hmm. depending on those situations, you can get KUS for like 150. Like, that's like a really, really low one. Like, you can get like 200, 300, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously as a student you can apply for CAF,
yeah.
Which is like government aid for housing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so at that point when I'm trying to look for houses in KUS, every house is gone.
Like, it was already too late.
It was gone, yeah.
Even after you receive your Campus France response,
yeah.
It's too late, because you need to get a house.
Mm-hmm.
For September,
yeah.
You need to apply a visa,
yeah.
Which you need housing,
yeah.
To apply for a visa.
Exactly.
So imagine like the rush. It's a lot. But then like there's a lot of options to look for houses, right?
Quite. Yeah. I mean, there's many options, but it also depends on how much money you have, I feel.
Because
if you have like unlimited money, obviously you get a house really fast.
Yeah.
But if you're probably on a budget or like you're trying to save some money, you won't have as much options, I feel.
Yeah.
I think I've said this before in previous episodes, places where you can look for housing as a student. We have websites like Studapart, we have Le Bon Coin, we have La Carte de Coloc if you're looking for roommates. What else do you have?
The stuff that you just told me about, to live with like families.
Oh, intergeneration. Or you can be hosted by family, which you can get on places like Facebook. Like, there's always families who are looking for people to stay with them, especially if you speak English. There's many,
yeah.
Families who look for someone to speak with their kids English. And then there's also intergenerational housing, which is the kind of arrangement where you stay with like old people and then you're required to give in some hours in exchange for like low rent. So I think there's places where they require you to like give 2 hours a week to just spend time with them, and then you pay rent. It could be as low as 150, and that's like without CAF, without government aid.
Yeah, and host families.
And host families.
You know what I did?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there's this thing where there's a lot of con men on those websites.
Mm-hmm. Scam.
Yeah, and I almost got scammed so many times, like yeah. 3 times. So I finally got this Catholic dorm house. It's called Chemanouf, that mm-hmm. community. It's a Catholic community where it hosts youth under 26 years old. It's kind of expensive. It was 500, but I was sure it is not anarch. It is not a...
It was 500?
Yeah, per month. That's not that crazy.
It's for youth. It's just for like young people.
Yeah, it's just for young people. But then they cook for you.
Oh.
Yeah, they cook for you, but then you have to eat together. You have to do these prayers and everything.
Okay. So it's like a religious kind of thing.
It's like a boarding school. Yeah.
Well.
Yeah. And then they have like these things everywhere around France. So as a last option, that would be good.
Oh, I've remembered now that you said that. Like when I stayed in Montpellier last year and early this year, I stayed in Habitation. Do you know about Habitation?
Yeah.
The Habitation is like a place where young people who are working stay. And the rent is not too high. And even when it's high, they have some sort of partnership with CAF.
Mm-hmm.
And you get like crazy, crazy CAF. And yeah. Remember, my rent was like 480.
Mm-hmm.
But with CAF, CAF gave me around like 300. Like there was even more, probably 350 some months. I remember specifically there was a month that I paid only like 50 euros mm-hmm. for rent.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Habitation is nice.
I like Habitations because even without the rent factor, they have nice activities. Like they bring in people to like train you guys on different things. We did a road safety training, the traffic rules in France. We also did first aid training there, and these things are just for free. By virtue that you stay in that residence,
mm-hmm.
they kind of just want to take care of us.
No, Habitation is nice because yeah. cultured people, I mean,
international students.
Yeah, international students are there. So if you've just arrived in France, mm-hmm. it's easy for you to make friends. Cause being in your own country is underrated. Like, we? Hey.
Most international students or like international people or people who are coming from their countries for whatever reason usually go to Habitation, and I think that's also one factor I liked about it, because like the same way you're looking for friends, they're also looking for friends.
Yeah.
So you're like together, like alone together.
Mm.
Yeah. As opposed to just being, it's great to hang out with the locals, but at the same time, locals don't have the same needs as international students.
Yeah.
They don't know the démarche that you have to do, like to go to the prefecture.
Yeah.
Their visa issues, they don't know.
Oh my god, they just don't understand the international students. Yeah, and there's just so much to do. That's like a whole other thing.
That's a whole other episode, honestly.
Yeah,
so much to say about housing. I think one of the most important things you need to know about housing is you should never ever pay for a house that you have not signed a contract for. That's how people get scammed. People get scammed so easily.
No, but they even send you a contract.
Even when you're in Kenya and you sign a contract, don't pay because without having seen the house, like even seeing the person that you're going to, the landlord, if it raises any eyebrows, it doesn't even raise eyebrows, it looks perfect. Okay, I feel like I'm experienced by now because I've been moving around this country for so long. On that note, let's just talk about some scams that you can encounter on this site, because if you don't tread carefully, you'll be scammed without knowing, because sometimes you can't tell. From rule of thumb, if come on story mingi, first of all, if they're saying, like you send you a big paragraph, trust me, run.
That's it.
There's no landlord who wants you that bad. It's you who wants them that bad. If it looks like a very long generic paragraph, and then let me give you one example. There's this trick that they use. They tell you, hey, you want to come and see the house on Sunday? Great. But the thing is, we stay in a different town. So we need you to pay
some assurance.
Yeah, we need you to pay something. Because there's people who say that they want to come and see the house, but we came all the way and they didn't come. So we need you to send some deposit to assure us that you'll actually come and see the house.
Mm-hmm.
Girl, run. Run.
Mm-mm.
Run.
No. Hakuna nyumba hapo.
Hakuna nyumba. Another one is when they mention anything about family.
Hey, my daughter.
My daughter,
Sijui. My daughter,
my daughter actually went to school. She needs, bro.
Unnecessary.
Why are you telling me about your daughter? Yeah. I'm looking for a house and you're telling me about your daughter.
I don't care. I think my daughter used to stay there. We're just renting it.
Yeah. If they're giving me too much information, highly likely it's a scam.
Yeah. Yeah.
It you is. Don't need all that information. I think another one is when they talk about some coupons. I've seen a scam about coupons. Like if you see coupons being mentioned.
That's obvious.
Like, if you see something that you're like, huh? Red flag.
Yeah.
But some of them are actually very smart. They don't use any of those techniques. But point is, just, don't sign. Yeah. Don't send money for a house that you
haven't seen.
You haven't seen, and you haven't signed the contract there with them.
Yeah, physically.
Physically, yeah.
Because they even send you a contract and they tell you sign, and then I will sign it, and then they tell you it's all good. You can pay now, girl. Na hiyo pesa yote mpaka deposit na nini?
Done.
Yeah.
It's so easy to be scammed, by the way, by people. Especially because when you're looking for housing, your guard is down, you're desperate, you're just like, yeah, finally. You've been looking for like 2 months, you haven't gotten anything, you keep getting rejections, landlords are not replying, or you get something, they tell you, oh, somebody has just taken it, and then you, the one that you actually get, you're like, oh, finally,
yeah, it's a scam. It's 300, it's a really nice house, you've seen it, you're like, oh, and then you have that mentality. It's France, like, uko ni maju, like, you don't even think that you might just come here. Oh my god.
That's one thing that blindsides you. Nafikiria ngati ni France, hakuna wezi.
Okay, that's how they stole my phone.
Oh my god. And then also, if you ever feel like the deal is too good to be true, honestly, just run.
Yeah, it's too good.
If you look at the site and then you see the prices of houses of this kind of nature range between this price and this price, and then you see one that is very good and it looks so cheap, most likely there could be a scam there.
Yeah.
Just be careful about things that look too good to be true.
The best place to get a house is actually Studapart, I think.
Yeah, because Studapart is like, it's regulated by, I don't know who regulates it, but I think it's not just individuals from anywhere. I think they have to, like, it has to be confirmed in some way.
Yeah, and there's like application fees and everything. Exactly. It can be a bit expensive, but it's the way.
Okay, so that's about housing and scams and everything there is to know. I mean, we could go on and on because there's so much to say. But one question that we both get a lot is about finances. Understandably, most people want to know, how do you finance your studies in France? What do you have to say?
I think education is so cheap in France. Okay. Yeah. For me, because me, I pay 243. But like, what is that thing that you do?
That I do?
Yeah.
So, oh, Formation Continue?
Yeah.
Yeah. So let me explain.
My program is termed as Formation Continue, which is something that I learned as I was applying. In fact, as I was registering myself to be a student. Formation Continue is like when you discontinue your studies. According to the law, it's supposed to be like, if you discontinue your studies for at least 2 years, you're supposed to be in a different category, which means you pay more of school fees, which is something I didn't know. Yeah, so I pay 500 euros more because everybody else pays now 243. And then we put a pin on that because that's not like everybody else. Like, it's not the standard. That's just standard for French students. It's not for everybody. So I pay 843.
That's a lot.
Yeah, quite. Because I didn't expect. And then the thing is, for fees in France, that's why I was not quite sure we can use the word cheap to define it, because it depends on your situation. Because fees for European Union students is 243, that's the standard.
Yeah.
But like for everybody else, it's supposed to be, this is masters by the way, it's supposed to be around 3,770.
For bachelors, it's 2,770.
We put all the information on the description box. And then the thing is, so in 2019, what happened, there was a law that was put forward in the parliament in France to raise the fees of international students. Yeah, but what happened, not every university agreed, because obviously it's going to make the university is less attractive to international students, all that.
Yeah.
So some universities said, no, us guys, we're gonna keep our fees 243. So that's why you and I are supposed to pay 243.
Ah.
You see? So that's why there's a difference between these people who pay 243 only, because it remained the same. And then there's people who pay like the normal fees that the government raised, the 3,000 something and something. That's what makes it expensive.
Yeah, because when I was applying, I knew the school fees would be like 3,770.
Yeah.
And then when my fee nini came to that I pay, I was like 243. I was like, Jesus, thank you, Messiah, Nyasai.
Exactly. If you're asking yourself, how do you know, there's actually a list. I'll try to link it to the episode as well. But like, like if you just search the universities in France which didn't change the international student fees, you'll find a list.
Ah.
Yeah. And then I'm not even going to get into loi immigration in this episode yet because that's a whole other story. It's actually funny because by the time that we started recording this episode and the time that we're finishing it, there's another new law that came called loi immigration that changed things up for foreign students. School fees in France can be affordable depending on the universities you go to.
Yeah.
Yeah, but usually the problem is upkeep, which we try to like do student jobs to supplement ourselves.
Because the rent and everything, food, the cost of life.
That's a problem now.
Yeah.
And then obviously many people want to know about scholarships. What do you think about scholarships, Hilda?
I think it depends with like the course that you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because I find most scholarships in France are given to people who do sciences, engineering. STEM. STEM. Yeah. And if you're doing social sciences, in education,
they're not that many.
Yeah. And then when you start narrowing it down to Kenya.
If you don't understand completely what we mean by this, is Hilda and I were talking about how when you're applying for uni in France or even anywhere, you see, like for France, you use Campus France as a website. So there's a list of scholarships that you can apply for, but these scholarships are in different categories. So if you put your specific filters, like for us, we're students, we're Kenyan students, there's not as many scholarships as there are for the total, because let me break it down for you. You could find there's like, let's say 50 scholarships. Out of those 50, 40 of them, 30 of them are strictly for STEM courses.
Yeah.
Doesn't apply to us.
And even the STEM courses, they're like funny ones. They're not like everything. You'll find like maybe aeronautical engineering, agriculture, I don't know,
Exactly. They're course-specific scholarships.
Yeah.
And then there's also scholarships that are very uni-specific. You'd find like there's this scholarship is only for Sciences Po University, or this scholarship is for Rennes University. So if you're not applying in those schools, it doesn't really apply to you. So out of the 50 scholarships that you see on the site, you could find already 40 don't apply to you.
Yeah.
Then the next 10 also don't apply to you because you're not in any of those universities.
Yeah.
Then the next maybe 5 are like for like you need to have like really high grades to access them, like the I think the IFL scholarship is very, very competitive. So at the end of the day, out of like 50, you could find that you only have like 3 that you actually qualify for.
Yeah.
And out of those, of course, the competition is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So don't always apply thinking you'll get a scholarship, and at the same time, don't lock yourself out. Don't think you can't get a scholarship.
Yeah.
Just apply for what you qualify for, and
also don't be scared. I mean, you can, I don't want to say you can easily get a job, but I mean, if you already get into the school and then you have that exemption, you're paying 240 or like 800, and then you get a job, you can live.
You can survive.
Yeah.
You can survive in a student job. It's not the easiest thing to do, but it's possible. But I personally would not advise anyone to just go in without a plan, like go and start school and then think you'll get a job. I think you should have a plan first. It would be proper if you knew you kind of have a job, or like you're going to get a job, or you're paid enough to like be at, you know, you can't just go in and say I'll get a job eventually. You might not.
I applied for the job I was applying for jobs when I was in Kenya, and I had kind of gotten a job when I was in Kenya before I came,
and every time we talk about jobs, I think people always ask, there's this mentality that there's limited number of jobs for us, which could be true because of various factors, but don't disqualify yourself before the system disqualifies you.
Good point.
Because we actually are allowed to apply for almost any job, like for as long as you qualify, go for it. The only rule that you should keep in mind is under the student visa, you're only allowed to work up to 20 hours in a week.
Yeah.
So anything that goes around that, you can just work half time. Apply for anything. Don't limit yourself to only, let's say, like au pairing or language assistant. There's no limit. Just go to LinkedIn and indeed.com or Welcome to the Jungle and any job application website and apply for anything and everything.
Yeah,
that's what we do.
Yeah, I mean, aim high. Don't nini.
Yeah.
Don't put yourself into a canini, cashel. Because it happens. Because me, it has happened to me a lot, and I was like, I can only work like in a hotel, femme de chambre, that's cleaning hotels. Like, no, you can.
Or
you
McDo.
Can, yeah, like.
Restauration.
Yeah. Get a job. Like, you can. You actually can.
Yeah. So that's how we finance our studies in France. We do side jobs. It's not what we'd have wanted. I know for many people, they would have loved to work more than those hours, because sometimes you have more than those hours, but like the visa limits you, you can't work past 20 hours a week.
Yeah. I mean, we have to talk about school life, because balancing the work and working more than 20 hours and work and school and
No, it's... In terms of expectations and reality, how do you find your schoolwork, your master's in France?
Oh my god. Mm. Oh my god. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I expected.
Yeah.
Kwa sababu I was in KU.
Mm-hmm.
Kuna masomo.
Kuna masomo KU.
Kuna masomo, but like it doesn't hakuna nini, hakuna ma thesis sijui nini.
Really?
Yeah.
For masters.
Okay, like bachelor's, bachelor's yangu, okay, there's not masters. A lot. No, but like, there's not a lot that was expected of me. Nilikuwa okay. Like, vitu zilikuwa raisi raisi.
So yeah, it's more rigorous.
Yeah, it is. And you actually have to study, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know, you used to study.
Of course I used to study.
Me didn't study. Okay, I used to study.
Proof kabisa kunanga masomo KU. You're saying that here it's a bit more, like, the expectations on you as
it's
a student
so complex.
Are more.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wouldn't per se say that. For me, there's no difference in terms of expectations. I mean, the work is the same. It's just that, of course, it's master's. There's more work to do.
Mm-hmm.
And you write theses and you write academic papers more than we used to do in bachelor's, because we don't do that a lot in bachelor's.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that for me came as a shock, I think this is for everyone. I think we talk about this a lot. The fact that realize our classmates are young. They're so young. They're 20 years old. They're 19. Yeah. Yeah. Which is in master's, by the way.
Yeah.
So cool. Like, mnafanya nini hapa in master's? Like, how did you get here?
And at I was 20? Always the youngest when I was doing my bachelor's.
And then like the other way around, like, we're the oldest in our class. Mm. And that's new to us. Yeah. But it's usually because, you know, first of all, licence or like bachelor's degree in France is only 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then usually it's not like Kenya where people do degrees. And then they take like some time off, they go to the job market, and then they come back for masters. Here they usually go immediately.
Mm.
Bachelor's 3 years, master's immediately. So they're like very young.
Yeah.
I mean, initially I thought just because they're young, they think like young people, they're like, they don't know much. But for me, I found it's not the same.
Yeah.
They actually do know much.
Yeah, they're actually mature.
They're mature enough. Yeah. I think the French, one thing about the French system that I really appreciate is they're really taught how to think critically.
Mm-hmm.
Like they argue out stuff like adults. They argue out stuff very deeply in a way that me with my Kenyan education, I think, wow, I would never have thought of that angle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
their system is very different from ours. So for us, I think we do struggle a lot to adapt, especially because
the
one, we learn in French. Yeah.
Senor Jesus. Today drained me.
I think that's like the biggest part that is for us is like a whoa.
Crazy. And then given you're expected to write this is in French.
And sit for 4 hours of classes with a 10-minute break in between. And it's French, and it's academic French, and it's complicated stuff that we don't necessarily know sometimes. Even just without the language, sometimes the cultural concepts and the cultural references, we don't understand these things.
And not even the cultural references. There's like this thing.
Mm-hmm.
One time a teacher told me to align my work. Like, I don't know if you've been told that, like, align your work. Like, the way...
No.
French writing is different. There's just some things that you don't know. There's a nene in word.
Like aligning the document.
Yeah, aligning the document. As in two, French writing is tofauti. Kuna vitu mingi sana ameniambia.
I'm coming align.
Wait, can you tunaline ama tuna print?
Tulikuwa tunaline, like when you do your...
Aligned?
Yeah.
Whoa!
Yeah,
masawa.
So many.
Guys, this is too cool print. Ata kwa apo, like, mwenye ata print, ni ata jua kenye ata fanya jeni group work.
Like, no one really cares.
When
I was saying about cultural references, what I meant, let me give an example. You see, because I'm in a sports management course, there's some things they say, let's say a teacher would give an example of, if this was in the Kenyan context, let's say a teacher comes and says, you remember in 2004, okay, 2006, when Julius Yego did this and this and this, like that's the Kenyan context.
Yeah.
So now the French version of that, I wouldn't necessarily know the things that are very French, like the history of their triumphs in sports, the things that I have to find out then I have to go and read about them. So, and also the fact that the studies here, I think this is something that I will delve into in depth in a different episode, but I find it very problematic that my studies here are very Eurocentric.
Yeah.
They're very Eurocentric. Like, sometimes I feel so out of place
because
they study a lot about the French and the European sports scene.
Mm-hmm.
And then occasionally, of course, they make reference to America because Americans are also sports giants.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think people talk about Africa?
Never.
Like, almost never.
Mm-hmm.
The only times we do is when it's in negative light. Like, when it's just... And it's never the best thing. So they give examples of things that I'm just like,
there's also good things happening in Africa, but like I have to find out things about sports in Africa on my own, because these things are never going to be taught in class.
Yeah,
you see. So that's one thing that I don't really like about my my master's in France.
Yeah,
it's not gonna change.
Yeah, I would say the same thing.
Yeah,
usually because me, I'm studying discrimination.
Yeah.
I would think I understand it.
Yeah,
but it's like when I say things sometimes people don't understand. It's
don't
like,
get it.
Yeah, it's like that I'm bugging them. Like,
yeah,
they don't
get it. Yeah. There's a disconnect. There's a very big disconnect between the backgrounds.
We'll talk about this.
Yeah. We'll talk about our experiences, our day-to-day experience as students in a French school later in a later episode. But for now, yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed the episode, and I hope it helped you guys if you're planning to apply, or maybe you've never even thought about applying, but this could give you, it could shed some light on the questions you've had.
Mm-hmm.
And feel free to share the questions you have on my Instagram DMs at Kenyan Francophile. Do you want to plug yourself?
Just Hilda.
Just Hilda. J-U-S-T-E _ Hilda. Yeah, or like my personal account is Tarrett at Tarrett. Yeah, that's all we have for today.
And ciao.
Merci beaucoup, Hilda, d'être ici. C'est vraiment gentil, quoi.
Bye.
Goodbye.